This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some dudes from Jersey showed up, but Illinois did all the fist pumping tonight. 86-51 in the Big Ten opener. I'm Jeremy Warner. Derek Piper, he gave me a little laugh after that one. 86-51, just a rout, just a feel-good win. Two feel-good wins in a row. A four-game winning streak now for Illinois, including three games against high-major opponents. Let's start it off. Rutgers is bad. They lost Miles Johnson. They lost Jacob Young. I feel for Steve Peichel here, Derek. He built a good program, gets to the tournament last year. Feels like they're breaking through. And the Pac-12 keeps stealing all his players. The first Omarui, now you get and they're not even related, the newest Omarui on the team, but now Jacob Young goes to Oregon. Miles Johnson, great defender, goes to UCLA. And it's Ron Harper Jr. by himself because Geo Baker, who I've always thought is a little overrated, but he can score the ball. They really missed him tonight as Illinois held them to 30% shooting. I feel for Steve Peichel, man, because he's got a bad team right now, and it feels like he doesn't deserve that bad team.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Of course, it was on him, I guess, to replace those guys in Young and Miles Johnson. But he had an NCAA tournament team that won a game last year, and everyone was afforded the opportunity to come back. But Jacob Young was really great in transition, attacking guard to get to the rim. They're missing him as just that secondary. I mean, obviously, when Baker's there in the backcourt, they have him. But secondary guard that can score, and then Miles Johnson inside. Kofi had success against Johnson based on his numbers against Rutgers coming into this game. Had a double-double every time he faced Rutgers, but throw Omarui out there and even more of a kind of a mismatch just in terms of the sheer size. But Illinois was ready, popped Rutgers in the mouth really after that first media timeout, where it was still obviously close, but just cruise pass from there. Coleman Hawkins' defense on Ron Harper Jr. was really, really impressive. And are we saying Illinois is off the bubble now? I mean, Rutgers, that they're not, like you're saying, not a very good team. You can understand why they scored 48 points against Merrimack and lost to UMass and lost to Lafayette. So they're reeling a little bit outside of that Clemson win. But really a lot to talk about with Illinois just offensively and what they did against Harper and Rutgers as a whole defensively.
Piper stealing this more back into an Illinois basketball podcast, not Rutgers and my thoughts on Rutgers after this. But no, you did what you got to do. You got to beat these teams at home. Somebody came up to me and goes, what do you think about tonight? I go, you got to win this game. I mean, Rutgers isn't very good. You're at home. You start Big Ten playoff with a bang tonight. Shot well from three, 12 of 33. They chuck some up there. But when you hit 12 threes like that, we'll break this all down, Derek. But I do want to start with Coleman Hawkins. You know, obviously, Alfonso Plummer, Jacob Grandis, and Kofi Coburn did the scoring tonight, but we've seen it from the sideline. When Coleman, especially early in these games, just kind of lacks focus defensively to the scouting report, who he's guarding. And Brad Underwood has continued to say publicly, like, I think he can be an elite two-way player, but that means being elite defensively. And he was focused from the get-go on Ron Harper Jr., who shot 1 for 9, had 5 points in this game. That's a season low. Coleman Hawkins had 2 blocks, I believe both on him, or at least one of them was on him. That's a glimpse of what his role should be on this team. I mean, Coleman still had 9 points tonight, passed the ball really well. But, man, when he locks in defensively, especially in this conference, Derek, with all the great fours, E.J. Liddell, Trevion Williams, I mean, Illinois hasn't had a guy to stop that person. Coleman can be that guy. And Brad Underwood compared, I asked him about, you know, getting Coleman to buy in. He compared him and Coleman to Rams butting heads. And we've seen that, I mean, publicly on the sidelines. But Coleman started to buy in. And Brad started with Coleman Hawkins tonight about the individuals. I am not surprised because he is such a key to this team being great. If Coleman and maybe eventually Andre Curbelo comes back, those guys really lift the ceiling of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell that's why Brad continues to push him, because he knows what he can ultimately get out of him. And that length was really important. And we've seen in the past, not that, you know, obviously last year with DeMonte and Grandison at the four, you had a really nice season. You were really darn good. But there have been matchups like Ron Harper that have been problematic. And the fact that the three prior games against Illinois, he was averaging 25 a game, shooting the cover off from three, and just overall was getting whatever he wanted. And against smaller defenders, he could shoot over you. And then he's got a bigger body maybe for even Jacob Grandison. But Hawkins, with his length, his mobility, didn't give him open looks. He was engaged from the very beginning, which was different than, you know, against Notre Dame. Nate Leshefsky had two wide open threes because Coleman just left him. And that's something you got to understand and know. You know, even if my guy's getting beat, my assignment is not to leave this guy. So when you do look around the league and you see EJ and you see you could just go on down, you know, even Purdue, Caleb First is playing well at the four, and he's a tall freshman, and Musa Diabate at Michigan, and that's just what you have seen traditionally here in the Big Ten, is those taller four men. And now you have a legit matchup for them with Coleman. And obviously, I mean, even offensively, like the high-low action with him, there's a lot of possibilities there between him and Kofi, because he's a very good passer, also can shoot the three. So there's a lot of ability, a lot of potential in Coleman, and to see him, you know, really play a full game tonight was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and he had one drive where early in the season he just kind of, you know, put it up, a contested shot. He kicked it back out. I forgot, I think it was Luke Goody at the top of the key, and Luke Goody just drains it. I just thought Coleman had an absolute complete performance, and it's just, did they find the four? They might have found the four. You know, it takes some time, and, you know, he's going to need some, there's going to be some ups and downs probably with him, especially with the emotion he plays with, but I think there was probably a light bulb that went off with Coleman, like, man, if I play like this, my coach is pretty happy, and we're pretty dang good when I do this.
Mention Keegan Murray. I didn't mention as a four. I should get
on Monday. Yeah.
Flamed for that.
Now, he was out tonight against Purdue, which obviously has a big role. But Keegan Murray is early running Big Ten Player of the Year so far. So, yeah, that's a big matchup, a big step up. I think he's obviously better than Ron Harper Jr., who's a really good player. Alfonso Plummer shooting the lights out. Jacob Grandison shooting the cover off the ball. But Kofi Coburn, man, is this Kofi Jokic? Like, we got a – he only had two assists tonight, but that's three of four games he's had multiple assists, which ties a career high. He probably should have had more tonight, had some good hockey assists. But 13 points drops his scoring total for you guys keeping track of the NCAA scoring leaders. Only 24 points a game now, and after a 15-rebound season high, he's now averaging 10.6 rebounds per game, Derek. But the facilitating, teams collapsing on Kofi, and then all of a sudden you got all these shooters, and these shooters are making the buckets, right? Plummer, DeMonte Williams had two threes tonight. Trent was 2 of 8, but he made 2 of them. Luke Goody makes 2. Jacob Grandison makes 2. And Grandison took over the game at one point with the shooting. But it's all really starting with the attention paid to Kofi and his ability to pass the ball out when he should and then take it one-on-one when he's got the one-on-one matchup.
That's the deadly combination. As you look at the three-point shooting, 12 made threes tonight. I think 6 different guys made one. And obviously, Kofi's dominant on the interior, and you need to send extra attention to him because there are very few guys that can guard him one-on-one. And the fact that he notices when to take it, when to be aggressive, when, you know, where the open man is. And it wasn't just – there was an evolution tonight. I think that tonight was more than just seeing, like, a short side corner pass, like a simple one out and then a shot. Like, Illinois really ran – action and had the ball pop around the perimeter to make the extra pass, the hockey assist, or maybe even going all the way to the opposite corner. So that is a team that is feeling that chemistry and the ball movement, the unselfishness, and that creates open shots. And that's something that you got to be really excited about when you watch Purdue. I think that's one thing that when I've noticed, obviously Travion's one of the best passing bigs out there, but the way that they move with their shooters, you know, when the ball's in the post and they're able to kick it back out, that's what makes them really deadly. And while this offense really last year was pretty much mostly pick and roll, it was Io and Kofi in the pick and roll. Not that they wouldn't dump it down to Kofi and let him do his thing, but you know, that ball wasn't really coming out based on the assist numbers. Now we haven't seen it without Curbelo out there. It's mostly a half-court offense, inside, play outside. It's been super effective.
So I got to ask you this, Derek, because people are asking me. We don't know when Curbelo will be back. Brad said tonight he's dealing with stuff, right? So don't know exactly what it is. I know there's a lot of speculation out there about what it can be. We'll give him that space if he's not going to talk about it or Brad's not going to talk about it. But when Curbelo eventually, I'm assuming he comes back at some point to this team, how do things change? Because they're playing well right now offensively, right? They're playing well as a unit defensively. It feels like everyone's kind of settling into these roles. It's going to be on Andre, right, to kind of settle into his role. You have to use him in pick and rolls, though, if you're the coaching staff. So that's I don't know if it's a concern, but it's going to happen at some point when, if Curbelo comes back, and I imagine it's more of a when, like how the whole team adjusts to that. But for me, that's a good problem to have, right, when you're thinking of bringing one of the most dynamic playmakers in the Big Ten back into your team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his usage rate was one of the highest in college basketball before he went out. Now, I know that a good chunk of that was without Kofi, so you weren't running. You're really relying on him to make a lot of the plays. And they were running pick and roll, but, you know, getting the touches to Omar Payne isn't the same emphasis when you have Kofi down in there, just knowing, you know, kind of the back-to-the-basket prowess that he has. So it'll be interesting to see. Surely they'll go back to pick and roll quite a bit. But I think even Andre may be acclimating to the fact of, if we're going to play this four out, you know, four around Kofi offense, how is his role going to be when the ball comes out to him? Can he penetrate the lane? Will there be cutters off of different actions? And not, you know, expanding the offense, or just kind of what his role looks like beyond just running a pick and roll. So clearly he is a great facilitator, very talented. Obviously he's made a lot of mistakes this year, a lot of growing pains early, but
they're also were way better with him on the four offensively when he was on the four, right?
Like, yeah, definitely. So that will be interesting. He's gonna have to acclimate himself back into this, because they've got a good thing going right now. But you know, let's put to bed any, you know, they're better without Andre, because yes. I know, I mean, that's kind of the look. There's hot takey fan takes, like last year Iowa goes out against Michigan. Oh, Illinois is better without Iowa. Oh, Illinois loses Cincinnati. Oh, Illinois is on the bubble. Yeah. Now we're going to phase into Illinois is better without Curbelo, which is also false.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why it's a fleeting thought in your head, but they're better with Andre Curbelo. It's just going to be probably a process when he comes back. He might have some hiccups. You got to feel it out and all that. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring it up, because at some point you hope he comes back and that he can get back. And I think, if anything, it should take some pressure off him.
Yeah.
He should be watching this, and he's watching this from the sideline, seeing his team really click offensively and be like, I don't have to dominate. Like, if I want to be an NBA player – it's the same thing with Coleman right now. You don't have to score all the time. And the same thing with this team. Like, Kofi didn't feel like he had to score all the time tonight, and he was the MVP of the game because he's just dominating attention, dominating the glass. And I think, you know, Andre Curbelo could probably see that sitting from the bench. Man, it's still good to see Trent Frazier being on the court. His shot's a little off, you know, 2 of 10 tonight, 2 of 8 from three, but to see 2 go through, I think was really good for him. He's barely practiced, Brad Underwood said. Damonte Williams, another really solid game, 6 points, 5 assists, 1 turnover, 4 boards. But, man, Alphonso Plummer and Jacob Grandison are just shooting the cover off the ball, Derek. I'll get the numbers here in a second, but tonight Plummer 3 of 8 from three, Grandison 2 of 5. Those guys are just knockdown shooters right now, and I don't think it's a fluke. Like, these guys look like 40% three-point shooters, especially with how many open shots they're getting with Kofi down low.
Yeah, Grandison from the corner with space is near automatic. I mean, there was the video last year that went viral where he's obviously literally unguarded and shoot around, hits like 30 in a row, but he gets a lot of those looks. And when this offense is clicking at the right, you know, ball movement and attention on Kofi, there's a lot of those opportunities. We saw it last year of kickouts to the corner, and he got some of those tonight. And it's, you know, he was someone that shot 40% from three last season and shooting at a high clip this year as well. And then Plummer, I was running the stats in the middle of the game. I'm maybe getting a little ahead of myself.
No, but he's averaging 3 a game right now, right?
He's averaging 3 threes a game. I know he got a 7 mixed in there with a 6, but currently on pace to hit 96 by the end of the regular season, which would tie Corey Bradford for third most in program history as far as one season. And then you'd have the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. Corey Bradford had 100 – or not Corey Bradford, Luther had 116 in one season.
That's
so
tough to break with 37 games, I believe, or 38 games they had that year. But, yeah.
That's tough. But, right now the pace is being set to be among the elite of that group.
I mean, I talked about it with Latoop. It is the silver lining of all of these guards being out, is that guy got ridiculous confidence. And now he's confident in 4 straight games, Derek, of 20-plus points. Like, Illinois hasn't had a shooter like this. I mean, there's not many in the program's history that, like, can do this. But also, I think he's starting to show a dynamic part of his offense where, listen, Alphonso Plummer's not going to break down guys off the dribble, but defenders are going to run him off the line, and he's shown the ability to get to the rim, finish a layup, or to pull up at that mid-range. I mean, he hit tonight from two, Alphonso Plummer, so he was 8 of 15 overall, so he was 5 of 7 from two. That's a big part. Like, if he can do that, he's a better player than we even thought coming in, because we didn't even think he had much dynamic ability to his game outside of shooting three.
Yeah, he had a couple of those mid-range pull-ups early in the first half. Can get to the rim, too. I mean, that's not something you want maybe him to lean too heavily on, because taller defenders in there are probably going to block his shot. But he is, as Brad was saying, it's something that he's been practicing, and he is a stronger-built guy. And he actually even mentioned to the media yesterday that he knew going into the Big Ten that he needed to work on getting stronger for more of that contact. And yeah, I mean, he's exceeding expectations right now. It's come a long way from the guy that shot off the side of the backboard at Marquette. So confidence-wise, has really gotten, you know, to its peak since he's been here at Illinois, and we're seeing the offensive weapon that, again, I mean, had the coaching staff buzzing throughout the summer, throughout the fall, and four straight games of 20-plus is really, really impressive.
I just want to break down a three-point percentage. So R.J. Melendez has only shot five, but he's made three, so he's 60%. Jacob Granson's 11 of 22, 50%. Luke Goody, 6 of 14. Man, that freshman ain't afraid, 42.9%. Alphonso Plummer on 57 three-point attempts is shooting 42.1%. Frazier isn't shooting very well, right? 29.7%. Coleman Hawkins, 29.2%. I think if Coleman can get that around 33, 34, you'd feel pretty good about that for the year. And DeMonte's starting to uptick, right? Like, he shot one really confidently tonight, made two of four. He's 5 of 18, but trending up. So, I mean, if you got Derek, if you think Grandison, Goody, Plummer, and maybe DeMonte rest of the season can shoot 40% from three, and Frazier and Hawkins being, you know, maybe 33 to 36%, like, man, that's a lot of shooters around Kofi.
Yes, but they said they were going to have going into the year, being significantly improved from the outside, just having more weapons. And, you know, last year had Grandison over 40%. Obviously, Trent had a very solid percentage, a guy that can be still streaky at times, but yeah, when you factor in Plummer and just the upgrade as a shooter, even over Adam Miller, who had a nice season last year, but Plummer is significantly better in terms of catch and shoot. He was last year, and he's starting to prove that he can be an upgrade. DeMonte coming back into his own. You can see the confidence back in him in terms of looking for his shot and just the way it's coming off his hand. It looks more like DeMonte from last year. So, and even Goody off the bench, that does not look like a freshman right now. I know it's still early. He's still going to have to earn his stripes, but he just continues to impress and just he looks the part. So adding him as a shot maker off the bench is really, really key. And I still think Coleman's very capable. I don't think we've seen quite what we are ultimately as he continues to settle in and getting more comfortable.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Derek, so two pretty feel-good wins. I mean, Notre Dame, even Brad Underwood said, you didn't step on their throats. You let them hang around. Could have been a 20-something-plus win. They were within two possessions late. But feels like they're starting to get on the right track. Feels like they're settling into what this team knows it can be and should be. And they're finally starting to get healthy. Like, Trent Frazier's still dealing with stuff. Some of these guys are still dealing with, like, the flu. And Andre Curbelo is still sitting on the bench, right? But what do you think these last four wins, especially the last two, say about this team?
I think it talks to the response of what they've got going on. Brad's talked a lot about toughness and to be able to fight through when you got the adversity and you're not practicing together and you got guys who aren't feeling right. And for Trent, I do think that there is a lot to be said for Trent to, as soon as he's clear, go out and play 32 minutes against Notre Dame. Like, to have your leader do that, you continue to hear. You can't go to a press conference without hearing about Damonte Williams and everything he's doing and not feeling right, refusing to come off the practice court. He was thrown up at halftime and everything. So I think it shows the resolve, and you can just see in the way in Brad's mannerisms that he's pleased. He talked about leadership stepping up. He talked about intensity picking up, knowing that it's Big Ten play. So that's important. And then offensively, there's been a lot of growth. There's been a lot of, the shooting's come around. Kofi seeing things when the doubles come, and you're showing, everyone kind of what we thought. I know that you would have probably pictured it as Curbelo and Kofi and people operating around that, but this offense has a lot of potential as they, come together and progress forward. But, yeah, I mean, Notre Dame lost to Boston College tonight. Rutgers isn't very good. Cincinnati's not very good. You're going to still have to prove it. And Iowa will be a test on the road, especially if Keegan Murray's playing. I think that obviously will say a lot. But, man, if you're able to start 2-0 in Big Ten play, go into that Arizona game against at least the top 15 team as they're slated right now, that would be your opportunity for a marquee win in the non-conference and could erase or at least make up for some of the slip-ups early.
Yeah, I mean, this Iowa game, it's hard to even think about, Derek, because if Keegan Murray's out, which he's out against Purdue tonight, we're recording this at 9 o'clock, basically, and it's halftime, and Purdue, who's going to be the number one team in the country after they probably win tonight, 39-26, they lead against Iowa, and it's at Purdue West Lafayette. We know Carver Hawkeye is a really tough place to play, great fan base there, great rivalry between these two. And Iowa's undefeated coming into tonight, right? They haven't played many people. We're able to beat, Virginia, I believe it was, 75-74. Lost a big lead in that game, but Joe Toussaint with a big bucket. Keegan Murray's a problem, though. So if he's healthy, that Iowa team is a lot better than maybe a lot of people thought they would be. And they can score, man. Like, when Keegan Murray's there, they can really score. His brother, twin brother's a really good player. Jordan Bohannon, we know, can go off and bothers the heck out of everybody, but it's because he can make shots. They're not as good on the interior, and Kofi Coburn should have a field day against Philip Rebecca. But this is a big test for them, right? Like, as you said, going on the road, this team hasn't played well away from State Farm Center. They played pretty well here, but now you go on the road, see what you're made of. And I think, most of all, Derek, it's going to be a test of your defense. I think we know this team can score. That's going to come and go every night. It's got to defend, and it's one thing they didn't do very well at times against Notre Dame. Obviously didn't do it well against Cincinnati, and that's why that game just got completely out of hand. Your offense comes and goes some nights. I think it is a big test of their defense on Monday night.
Yeah, certainly. I know that their opening slate, their first five, six games of the year, they weren't playing really anybody. KenPom, 280 to whatever the bottom of that is, 358. But they're putting up like 100 a game, essentially, in the high 90s, and can typical Fran McCaffrey fashion, up and down, a lot of tempo, a lot of three-point shooting. We know Bohannon can go off. Keegan Murray is super versatile, athletic forward that can just score it everywhere. And they're going to be someone that's going to stress you. They run a lot of, you know, spaced out offense, and they have good chemistry, as usual, like cutting and just trying to drive and kick. And it's going to test Illinois to be disciplined, to not turn the ball over and give them, you know, fast break opportunities. And, yeah, you're going to have to be ready to score because you're going to have to keep up with them. But, yeah, definitely defensively, the toughest test you faced here this season, really. I mean, I think that's fair to say. And then going on the road in Big Ten play is a different animal than what you've experienced so far.
Before we get out of here, somebody's probably screaming at the podcast, talk about Omar Payne. Nice night.
We should.
Nice night for Omar Payne. 7 rebounds in 10 minutes. I don't know if he had 7 rebounds in the season, Derek, before this game. I'm going to check that here. It's got to be pretty close. But a nice night for Omar Payne. I mean, the key for him is allow Illinois to rest Kofi for 3-minute stretches, 4-minute stretches, so he can have a break in the middle of the half. You bring Omar Payne in the game, and by the time he comes out, you didn't lose 4 or 5 points, right? Just be allow Illinois to not have a huge minus when Kofi Coburn's out of the game. He did that tonight. I thought he had great energy outside of somebody give him a post touch. Like, just don't go there. Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to do that. That's not who he is. And he dribbled like 4 or 5 times, turned it over. But that was a nice to see Omar Payne play well, because they're going to need him, man. They're going to need him at some point.
Yeah, it was midway through the first half, and he tied a season high in rebounds with 5, and ends up with 7. And
like, he had 12 coming into the game, had 7 tonight.
Yeah, I think he was really engaged and obviously battled on the glass, was given that effort, and he looked a lot more comfortable. He just looked like a guy that was out there playing, and we've seen him kind of mentally process things and try to figure out where to be, or just not being kind of reactionary in terms of you know, just going out there and playing your game. So that was encouraging to see, certainly. And then to late shot clock going down, and Mulcahy tries to drive and he just deflates the ball off the backboard. That was obviously showing off his athleticism. And I know the Orange Crush, who was on Mulcahy all night long, really enjoyed that one. So very encouraging step for Omar, especially when you think about what's coming up after Iowa. Arizona has a ton of size. And if they were to somehow get Kofi in foul trouble, or even just when Kofi's on the bench, they have 2 7-footers. They're one of the tallest teams in college basketball, and you could use Omar not only hitting the glass, but just, you know, being able to defend as well. So, but I, to your point, I think that's fine in a game where he's not really looking for his shot. If his role is bring energy, rebound, block some shots, like, you're completely great with that.
This looked like a pretty good team. Looked like a team that can compete and contend atop the Big Ten. We know how good Purdue is. That matchup will wait until January. Michigan coming in that week is going to be absolutely electric. But a nice start. We'll see if they can follow it. I mean, I would imagine, Derek, Illinois ranked next week, maybe like 23, 22 or something like that. I think they've earned that with the last couple of victories. I think the Big Ten has made an impression. They'll have many ranked teams next week. But, you know, Rutgers is going to be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. I don't know if I expected that, but you took care of business against them, and you know, this is starting to look like the team we thought Illinois could have. And again, your star point guard's on the bench.
Yeah, a tone-setting victory to start off Big Ten play. Think back to last year, what they were able to do against Minnesota, and that was coming on the heels of a disappointing loss to Missouri. So while we're not too far removed from Cincinnati or, you know, UT, Rio Grande Valley, the day I don't have to ever have to say their name again, it will be a good thing. But
UTRGV.
There you go. UTRGV.
I had like 10 seconds to think about that.
Yeah, this was impressive. And again, the fact that Rutgers isn't very good is definitely worth noting. But it takes a really good team to run them off the floor and completely demoralize them. And Ron Harper is a really good player. So they'll have to build on it. But they're looking the part right now, yeah. And that's a good thing.
And to your point, a good team learns how to stack these wins, right? And last year, after that Minnesota victory where they crushed them here in the Big Ten opener, they went on the road and lost 91-88 to Rutgers, yeah. Right? And they got down huge early in that game, and it took them a while just to catch up, but they didn't defend against a pretty good Rutgers offense at that point of the season. I think it's a very similar test. We'll see how they follow it up at Iowa. For Derek Piper, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thanks for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow and give us a rating review review wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate that. Until next time, everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.